Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
And so it is, I guess, with some mixed feelings that our guest joins us, Clark Kellogg, long a staple of CBS tournament coverage. Actually, haven't had the opportunity to speak with Clark the last couple of years, so I've been much looking forward to this. He's swapped out his scarlet and gray, an esteemed Ohio State Buckeye, All-America and alum. But hey, Selection Sunday, he'd pick the Cougars for the Final Four, so that had to at least soothe your Buckeyes going out, courtesy of the Cougs in the second round. Clark, hi again. Thanks again for the time. And why don't you start with what so had you backing the U of H at the outset of this tournament?
Hey, Charlie. Good to be with you, man. I'm looking forward to the games tonight and tomorrow. Part of it was simply how well they played all year, defensively and on the glass especially. The sum of the whole is greater than the parts. I thought Corey Davis has had an outstanding senior year. Everybody that Kelvin Sampson plays contributes in a meaningful way. But it was primarily, you typically don't see all of the top seeds roll into the Final Four. I think it's only happened maybe once in recent memory. And so I thought they were a good long, a dark horse, not a long shot, a dark horse team. But I like the way they play. I really do. I mean, nobody's won more games than the Cougars. So they've been really impressive from that standpoint. So, yeah, that was part of the reason. I think the Zags are the best team, and move them on to the championship round in the bracket that I did. But that's why we play the games. We'll see how it plays out. But I like the Cougars. It's remarkable where they've come from and under the leadership of Kelvin Sampson and his staff. Great credit to him and his staff as well as those kids there. So been a great story, and it would could even be greater if they were able to find their way to the Final Four.
So the lead subplot tomorrow night is PJ Washington's health. Clark, let's presume he is playing, and let's say he's 80-90% coming off the foot problem. What do you think his impact is? And then I guess to flip the coin, if it turns out he can't go, how huge a difference maker is that?
Well, he's a big difference maker. I mean, he was playing as well as anybody in the country at his position the last several weeks of the season. Inside, outside threat, gives you presence defensively as well. A long 6'7", 6'8", guy who's got a really nice, refined post-up game and can make threes. So a huge difference maker if he's able to go. If he's not, then that changes Kentucky a bit. They lose one of their potent scorers, perhaps their most potent scorer. Keldon Johnson is outstanding as well. Tyler Hero can get it going. But I don't think either one of them combines the refinement and the inside-outside game that PJ has, in addition to his work on the glass and defensively. So that loss, any team, you lose one of your top scorer and, perhaps your best player, then you're going to be less than. So it would certainly be unfortunate if he's not able to go. But the same things have to happen whether he goes or not for Houston. They've got to do what they've been doing, rebound the ball at a high level, defend at a high level, and then find the kind of offense we've seen occasionally with this team over the last month or so.
Talking with Clark Kellogg, CBS. Sweet 16 starts tonight. It is the time of year, of course, for all kinds of coaching turnover, firings, which, of course, means hirings. And Kelvin Sampson's been linked to Arkansas. The former U of H AD is up in Fayetteville. What would you make of that as a fit? The SEC's a bigger conference. Arkansas, the only thing in Fayetteville, Arkansas, of course, is the Razorbacks, balanced by life in the big city. To see the fruits of his labor, the revival that Kelvin Sampson has generated here, just out of an outsider's insider perspective, if you hear Kelvin Sampson, Arkansas, what jumps out for you?
Well, I hadn't even thought about it, quite honestly. I know that Arkansas made a coaching change and has let go of Mike Anders, but you know what? He's done such a remarkable job there in Houston and has his family there with him. They've built something really special that I think is going to be sustainable for a long time. That conference is getting better. It certainly is not the SEC, but not far below the Power Five, if you will. I mean, he'd be a fit anywhere. I mean, he's that good a coach and that good a guy. So it wouldn't be a matter of whether it'd be a good fit or not. It's whether it's ideal. You know, something can be good, but is it better and is it best? I'd have a tough time saying it would be better or best compared to where he is now.
Yeah, I lean the same way. Hey, life's choices we all have to make. I want to ask you about two programs of note around here and then get to some more games. If the Buzz Williams, Virginia Tech, speaking of coaches in the Sweet 16, to A&M, what do you think of Texas A&M, Buzz Williams? And Shaka Smart has Texas in the Final Four, alas, the NIT. What's your level of surprise at the low level of achievement overall for Shaka 4 years in with the Longhorns?
Well, you know, he's had some difficult seasons. Been to the tournament, I think, two or three.
Two of the four.
Yeah, two
without
of the four.
A win yet.
Wasn't able to. It was close in both of those tournament games that ended up going the other way.
Lost that half-court really buzzer beater.
I really think it takes 5 or 6 years for any coach in a new place to really be evaluated. So it's not been ideal, but it certainly hasn't been a failure for Shaka. Underachieving, I probably wouldn't go there if I was using terms, but I know many feel that way. But I think he's one of the outstanding young coaches in the game, and he's about the right things. He recruits good kids, and they play hard, and they've just been a little bit lacking offensively. And then he lost a couple of kids early. So all of that plays into it, but I don't think you really can give a report card unless something egregious happens. I don't think you can really give a fair report card until 5 or 6 years have passed by. A&M, I got to know Billy Kennedy just a little bit. Great respect and admiration for him. Thought he did a really outstanding job there in the time he was there. I think he was there 7 or 8 years and ran into a couple of tough years on the court for a lot of different reasons. I mean, it's a really fragile equation when you're talking about being successful and sustaining it. And obviously things were a little sideways here recently, and that's part of why the change was made.
U of H, Kentucky tomorrow night, the early game, the Elite Eight opponent for either the Cougars or the Wildcats. North Carolina, Auburn, more insufferable in victory tomorrow night, Kenny or Charles?
Oh, man, I would probably lean, I'd lean Kenny because he has a way of getting under Charles' skin a little bit. And I can imagine that would be the case if the Tar Heels move forward. So I would lean Kenny in that in answer to that question.
Tour de force performance by the Tigers over, obviously, a diminished Kansas team. Nevertheless, what do you think of their chances to run and hang with the Tar Heels, of course, run and then have all the size on top of it?
Well, it's going to be contingent. I mean, how they rebound the ball and can they turn the Tar Heels over? If they can't do those two things, I mean, again, rebounding is about being competitive. I mean, they don't have to beat Carolina on the glass, but they're quite a good rebounding team despite the lack of size. But turnovers and three-point shooting is where the game's going to be won or lost in addition to how well they can compete on the glass. You can actually overcome rebounding if you turn the other team over, which leads to hopefully getting more shots as long as you don't give them too many offensive boards. And then the three-point shot, they've made 91 in their last seven games, have the Tigers. So that's a major clip, and that's always an equalizer when you're looking for something that could tip the scales even when you're small.
In U of H's dream scenario, up in Minneapolis in the Final Four, they'll play the South Region champion. We have Virginia, Oregon. I mean, the Ducks are a Power Conference 12 seed, but closest thing to a Cinderella remaining in this tournament. And then Purdue, Tennessee. Curious your perspective, Clark, after Virginia looked like it still had the shakes from last year, falling way behind Gardner-Webb. Pressure relief valve taken care of now, sat on Oklahoma. You like Virginia coming out of there, or Purdue, Tennessee winner? The Vols blowing a huge lead, but then catching a second wind thanks to Grant Williams in overtime against Iowa.
Yeah, I've got Virginia coming out of that region, Charlie. I filled out a bracket prior to the start of the tournament, and I've got Virginia, Houston, Duke, and actually Michigan State and Gonzaga in my Final Four. I like what Virginia's shown. They're high-octane offense when they need to be, and they're one of the best teams in the country defensively. And in DeAndre Hunter, they've got a guy they didn't have last year during the NCAA tournament. His versatility, skill set, all of that bodes well for Virginia at both ends of the floor. You can put him on multiple guys defensively, and obviously he can get you a basket when you need it. And he's not by himself. But I think his presence and his game helps Virginia be good enough to come out of the South.
Also some interest around here in Texas Tech, Red Raiders at Michigan, kind of a brass knuckles defensive battle. Chance of Jarrett Culver being the best player on the court, swinging Texas Tech back to a second straight Elite Eight.
Well, he's got a chance to be the best player on the court every time he plays. That kid is terrific. He's, what, averaging 22, 23 a game in the tournament, 9 boards and 6 assists. I mean, he's stuffing the stat sheet at a high, high level in the first 2 tournament games, and he's done that all year. I mean, he's been fantastic. Absolutely love watching him play. His demeanor, his commitment at both ends, his unselfishness. I mean, he's outstanding. He very well could be the best player on the floor, and if he is, then Texas Tech wins. Michigan and Texas Tech, similar, 2 peas in a pod defensively. They don't give up a lot of points. They don't allow a lot of good shots. They secure defensive rebounds. This is going to be about who can find easier offense. Neither team, I think, is going to get easy offense, but who can find more good shots in transition if opportunities. Both of them are excellent transition defensively, so don't imagine there'll be much happening there. So it's about execution and shot making, and whichever team can do that at the highest level is going to move on. It's a pick 'em from where I sit. I move Michigan on in my bracket. But the Red Raiders are for real and legitimate.
One other game, also a sizable LSU alumni base in the Houston area. Michigan State's a very worthy Final Four pick, but if the Tigers under Tony Benford, another good story on the personal level, one man's opportunity after another man's mishap or misfortune, if the Tigers are to be in the Elite Eight, maybe a reason why they get the Spartans.
Well, they do a great job on the offensive glass, and they're extremely talented. As a matter of fact, 1 through 8, when you look at their personnel, I'd take them to the playground against any of these teams. I mean, they've got that kind of talent. Tremont Waters is terrific as a point guard. Skylar Mays and Javonte Smart. The big guys are really good on the glass, both Williamses and Naz Reid. This is a high-octane, very, very talented team, but you've got to sustain it. You can't have lulls against Michigan State because they execute so well. They share the ball, defend at a really good level. I give Michigan State the slight edge there. But if LSU is going to win it, it's going to be because Tremont Waters steps up and makes key plays, key big plays, late more so than Cassius Winston, who's been fabulous in that regard all year.
Clark Kellogg, CBS Sports, and Turner coverage throughout the tournament. Sweet 16 tonight, tomorrow night, and then off to Minneapolis for the Final Four. Last thing, Clark, Zion Williamson, do you think he walks into the NBA, and if nothing else, just running the floor, playing hard, offensive rebounding, is he going to come in and average 20-10 in today's NBA?
Doesn't happen often, Charlie, but if anybody could do it, he'd be a guy, even though he's not that big, he's extremely athletic. I could see it depending on where he ends up, what his role is on that particular squad. I could see it happening. He's special because he can impact the game in so many ways. I mean, he leads them in steals. He scores in the post. His jump shot's not bad. I'd give him a 60-40 chance of doing it because most likely if he does leave school, he's going to be a top pick. So he'll go to a team where he'll have ample opportunity to play. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him in that first year 2010 club.
And lastly, if you could have either's NBA career, would you take Ja Morant's or R.J. Barrett's? Runner-up's not bad.
Exactly. I wouldn't be bad with that default, but I would lean Ja Morant because point guard is so hard to get a franchise type one, and I think he's got that capability. R.J. Barrett's going to be phenomenal, but you typically see more twos and threes that are elite, although we've got great point guards in the NBA now. But when you can get one of Ja Morant's caliber, I think it solves a lot of problems for your team for the long term. So I would probably lean that direction.
Clark Kellogg, CBS Sports, also will work Westwood One Final Four radio coverage in Minneapolis. Hey, good luck refereeing Charles and Kenny tomorrow night. Much enjoyed
catching up. Yeah, I'll be
right
in the middle of that, Charlie. I'm looking forward to that. That should be great fun. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I think me and Brutus Buck, I'll be right there with the whistle.
There you have it. Hey, Clark, thanks again. Be well.
Yep, you too, Charlie. Take care.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.